I keep track of some things, not all the time, but this year was a pretty interesting year in technology, especially with the iPhone X coming out. And you think, well, hey, what's that all about, you know? Well, it was 10 years ago on January 9th, a Tuesday. And I remember it well. I was sitting in the computer lab. I sort of had a small corner that I called my office at this small Christian school where I taught Bible and computers. And I remember watching a streaming video of Steve Jobs repeat, an iPod, a phone, an internet communication device. He said that like three times or something like that. Better than Steve Ballmer, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's okay. And then he introduced the device that would lead the way in changing the way that we communicate forever. The iPhone. And while I was never an iPhone fan, ever since I've had my Android smartphone, I can't remember a day that I haven't carried it around with me since. I use it for my Bible, email, camera. I had a digital camera. I don't use it anymore. I use my phone. Calendar, games, research, TV, maps, directions, music, and yeah, I do use it for a phone sometimes. But just think about what all these things are doing to us, though. While we have it as a communications device meant to bring us closer together, for some reason, we're more distant. I think I remember years ago I shared with you when Jim Rich lived in the trailer next door. I had my window down and I needed to contact him about something, so I called him. I could see him out my window. You know, I don't know why. I don't know why I just didn't go over to him, but I called him, you know. You know, we text, we call, we email instead of visiting and talking face to face, and sometimes that's in the same room or across driveways, you know. And I don't know, you begin to think about what these things are actually doing to our minds. You know, I'll admit I rely on referencing things on my phone a bit more than having to memorize them, you know. And then how many times a day do you look at your phone? And for what? To see the time or something? I mean, has something that was meant to help us to be organized and more productive actually caused us to live in constant distraction and disarray? Got a message, by the way. Think about it. How are we different today than we were just 10 years ago? You know, as someone who likes science fiction and new technology, I often wonder what people are going to write 100 years from now in the history books if a war breaks out because of a tweet of 140 characters or less. You're going to think, come on, really? Is this how God really designed us to communicate? Now, don't get me wrong, you know, I believe the internet along with social media are very viable tools to share the gospel and to edify the body of Christ. But like any tool that can be used for good, it can be used for evil purposes. It can be abused for evil purposes. And so while there are many advantages to social media and everything out there electronic, we should always be asking ourselves, how can we obey the great commandment to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength while using Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or Google, or whatever, you know? In other words, as you tap or swipe away, ask yourself questions like, am I seeking to glorify God through my use of the internet and social media? Or is my use of the internet and social media leading me into sin? Has the use of the internet and social media become my master? Is my use of the internet and social media wasting time and making me unproductive? Do I value my use of the internet and social media more than real life relationships? Is my use of the internet and social media leading to my discontentment? Is my use of the internet and social media leading to complaining and unwholesome talk or unprofitable arguments? Just one more. Do people clearly see the light of Christ through what I post, tweet, text, or email? Just some questions to ask, you know? Today's lesson, Digital Dialogue, is the last in a series of messages in our Words Matter sermon series. Save the best for last, you know? Anyway, what we're going to do today is talk about how the internet is changing not only the way we communicate, but us as a people. And so the first thing that we want to note is how our digital dialogue is addictive. How it's addictive. There's just something about holding a nice, new, shiny piece of metal and plastic and glass in your hand. You can look at all the pretty pictures and find out, you know, strange and amusing things. You can tap and swipe it and just, it's pretty. It's sparkly, shiny, you know? So you like these things, you know? And so you get videos, it can make you laugh, it can make you cry, it can even make you get angry sometimes. And there are some people that use it for other sorts of weird fantasies, okay? There's no doubt about it, our electronic devices, with the help of things like social media, have been engineered to be as habit-forming as crack cocaine. I play Angry Birds, Angry Birds 2. I turned off the notifications because every 30 minutes, it was notifying me of these things that I had. I had to go check them out. You know, it wanted me to check them out. You see, and you think, well, that's nice of the game. No, it wants you to be addicted. They want you to spend money. They want you to waste time on these things, okay? And so if you're going to use these things, you need to discipline yourself so that you don't spend endless hours surfing the net or posting things on Facebook, reposting things, sharing things, texting people, chasing after every clickbait article that pops up. They tried to pass a law once about that. Because have you seen what so-and-so did? You click it, it's like, yeah, they use this cream on their face. And anyway, you just wait. Wow, you know, this nice skin. There goes 10 minutes of your life. Anyway, the Apostle Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 2:11. He says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul." And we could do that by constantly asking ourselves again those kinds of questions. Is this the best use of my time? Think about it. We all have responsibilities. Except for those people who waste all their time and think they don't have responsibilities, you know? And as a servant of Christ, we have additional responsibilities. And so what we need to do is set limits and have some time that you don't look at your phone or computer or tablet. Maybe even just shut it completely off, you know, for maybe an hour or two or three. Maybe you can work yourself up to a day, you know? Just think about it. Our time is all so limited. There's only so much time. So it's important to think about how we use it. The Apostle James wisely observes this in James 4:14 when he writes, "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." And so it becomes very, 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 very easy, very fast to spend countless hours playing on our electronic devices, whether it's social media, games, memes, or whatever. And it can be hard to resist, especially with all the eye candy that draws us in with the promise of something great. I got to get 5 million on Angry Birds. I don't know what it is. I know I'm old school Angry Birds. There's other things out there, but I like Angry Birds, okay? Anyway, but in the end, Angry Birds or not, it all ends up just being superficial and unsatisfying, leaving you with wanting more to satisfy your fleshly desires. That's addiction, which is why it becomes ever so important to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Galatians 5:16 and 17 says it this way, "To live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." And so it's important to be careful with what you look at. and what you do online, because things like social media, those sites, well, they do nothing but stimulate your emotions and your carnal nature. And they're programmed that as you click one thing, it remembers it. So it gives you more and more of what you think you want, you know? And eventually you'll get all swept away by it. Again, digital dialogue is addictive. Digital dialogue is also impersonal. And I know we think it's personal. I've got this device, I have my own personal wallpaper. Star Wars is coming up, and guess what, man? There's an old 1977 Star Wars poster. Gotta love it, you know? Anyway, next Friday, you know? All right, so, but we personalize these things. You have your own personalized message. You can send out personalized, you can do anything, okay? Little emoticons, pictures, whatever, avatars. I'm Charlie Brown, some sort of character like that, okay? You know, I don't know what, I have a hot air balloon. Go figure, right? For my Google picture. I have, you know, you can personalize these things up and down and left and right, you know? And, you know, sure, you could video chat or you could text chat, and it all sounds so personal. But out of all of your friends on, let's say, Facebook, how many of them are real friends? You know, there's a whole lot more to friendship than clicking confirm on Facebook. It's amazing and sad that there are still some people out there that measure their self-worth by the number of Facebook friends that they have or the number of the retweets that they get. Did you know it was mentioned that Obama had more retweets than Trump has had? I'm thinking, great, so we're measuring the worth of our president by retweets? There's another one for our history books. Yes, and Obama had more retweets. Do we really care? You know? Remember, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends, John 15:13. You see, the right kind of friend is not going to unfollow you but remain friends but not see your stuff. Or the right friend is not going to casually unfollow you or follow you and just ignore all of your stuff. Whatever it is, the right kind of friend will make you want to be a better Christian. Real friends invest real time and energy into their relationship. Real friends actually listen. Real friends share common interests. Real friends tell the truth. Real friends protect us. Real friends overlook our faults. Real friends help to bear our burdens. Real friends are loyal. Real friends forgive. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Proverbs 27:17. Now again, I'm not saying it's impossible to make real friends on social media. I'm just saying that until you're face to face with someone, it's hard to really know what they're like. Just think about some of the profile pictures you've seen. I've already described myself. I'm some sort of Charlie Brown character or a hot air balloon. I guess that's pretty much me, you know. But hardly anyone has their real picture, much less a current one or an unaltered one. And, you know, they might look really, oh, that is a real picture. And you think, well, how many times did it take you to do that picture? How many selfies have you got on your phone before you got the right one? On Instagram or Facebook or Snapchat or whatever. And that's because, you know, again, you don't see that they took maybe 100 pictures. Click, 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 click. And you finally got one that you liked. But then maybe you don't see the extra hours they put in saying, well, you know, I got to remove that pimple with a little Photoshop there, and maybe just a little bit thinner. You know, anyway, you don't see all that stuff, okay? And so you don't know all the blemishes or scars or whatever that have been hidden. And, you know, and you don't see the dozens of tries again. Maybe that one who did that parkour jump from building to building and how many times they missed, you know. You don't see that stuff, all right? And so the real problem with all this is that these images and videos encourage us to believe that beauty is found in outward appearances and being cool and being able to jump from one building to another. Bah! But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look on the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. And while there are still things out there that might help, maybe FaceTime or Skype or some sort of other video chat program, I don't know what you use, that could sometimes allow you to see the real person. Maybe you just see their head, they're still in their jammies, or hopefully wearing something, you know. You know, we should just do our best to experience the joys of in-person, face-to-face contact. Think about it, as people created by God for a relationship with Him and with others, we are meant to be in relationships with others. And a part of that relationship involves nonverbal communication, the waving of hands, you know, simply the way we stand. Body language tells us a lot, and the tone that's there that sometimes doesn't get across in texts. Is he yelling? That's what all caps are for. Oops, forgot that. You know, what's going on in that conversation? You don't necessarily get that with social media or texting. The apostles knew the importance of meeting face to face. The apostle Paul often longed to visit and encourage those he wrote. Said it a number of times in the letters to the Corinthian churches and to the Romans. And other apostles thought the same way. The apostle John, like what Denver read from our scripture reading in 2 John 12, said, I have much to write you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. I don't want to use Twitter and Facebook. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. Which implies, again, that his joy wouldn't be complete, and neither would theirs, just by writing. A lot of it's just got to do with seeing the other person's face, especially their eyes. Jesus said in Matthew 6:22 that the eye is the lamp of the body. You can tell a lot from someone's eyes. I just don't mean if they're glossy either. So it's important to look people in the eyes when you're with them. Think about it. When you look down at your phone, when you're with others, say you're talking with somebody, anybody, you start, you know, what if I did that all throughout the sermon? What if someone that you're dating or your wife or your spouse constantly looks at the phone while you're out to eat? You know, what that says is, you're not really all that important to me, you know? Can you just imagine Jesus up on the Sermon on the Mount, all of a sudden takes out his phone? Hold on a second, my mom's calling me, you know. No, wait. Okay, no. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I got to, you know. I just can't picture Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount constantly checking his phone. Okay? Of course, there are times when, you know, yeah, you can't be with somebody face to face. I think it's really great what the military has done with a lot of these, you know, FaceTime applications and stuff like that, where, you know, their servicemen can get to go in and communicate with their loved ones across, you know, abroad. It's great, you know. There are times when you can't be with somebody face to face. It's a nice substitute, all right? But, you know, it's always important, no matter what, to make sure you conduct yourself on social media like you would in person. Lots of people, even Christians, say things on social media that they would never say in person, simply because they feel secure behind a little screen. Screen or no screen, it matters what we text, and one day, Jesus says you're going to be held accountable for every post and every text, for every idle word you say. All right? We need to remember that as Christians, we are Jesus' representatives on earth. And online. That's a part of it, okay? This is what Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 13 through 16, and I know we know it well. He said this, he said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. How can that post be any good if it's nothing and you just, you know, you're the light of the world, he says. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Don't be ashamed of your Christianity. Don't hide the truth of the gospel, you know. Instead, it says, put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Again, digital dialogue is impersonal. Digital dialogue can also be detrimental. And so it's important for us to be careful about what we allow into our minds. According to Jesus in Matthew chapter 22 and verses 37 and 38, we're to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, Jesus says. And so for every tap or swipe or click, remember that you're opening up a window that will influence your mind and your heart and your soul. And so like that old preschool song goes, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Okay. Just a casual search on Google can bring up some pretty bad stuff. So it's important to turn on things like Google Safe Search. It's a feature. It's in there. It's on by default. Leave it on. Okay? And even when it's on, though, you need to be careful. Of course, if that doesn't do you good enough, you can buy filters like NetNanny, probably one of the best ones out there. Or for minimal coverage, if you have an antivirus program like McAfee or Norton, it comes with their own kind of family filters. But it's minimal coverage, all right? So things like pornography could be blocked out with that stuff, you know? But it's not going to help for sexting. You know, that's sending lewd or illicit messages, as it may be, through the phone to another person. There are a number of high-profile people that have been, well, let's say, with all the recent scandals going on, have left their jobs, have lost their positions. Pornography and sexting are serious issues and are not to be taken lightly. People's lives are ruined for images that they've sent that they should have never sent. And once it's out there, it's out there. Okay? There are places that are now created, and they've turned it into a business that if you find something online you don't want, you hire them, and they'll do their best to scour the globe trying to get people to take these images offline. It's incredible what can happen if you send something out there. So in general, don't send or receive images that are not glorifying to God. You cover yourself, 1 Corinthians 10:31, and never give out personal information to those you don't know. And even some of those that you do know, be careful, because people will take someone's name and they'll create a new Facebook account or something and try to make friends with you and try to steal information. You can always tell when it's pretty generic, like, hey, I ran out of gas money. Can you send me, or something like this, where they start talking about things. So ask some specific questions if you doubt, you know. Still, if they claim to be from the IRS, a rich family in Nigeria, or maybe the UK or Canadian lottery, I wouldn't give them anything. Okay? Those are scams. And they're preying on your innocence and in some cases, even your greed. That said, be careful what you idolize. Just like you can't serve both God and money, you can't idolize social media either. Remember that God is a jealous God, and he will not put up with idolatry, Exodus 23. And so put God first in all that you do, even above yourself, and you'll be okay. After all, that's what Jesus did in coming down from heaven to earth and showing us the way. Think about it. Jesus didn't come down saying, hey, I'm the Christ, you need to follow me, you know, and start lording it over people. And, you know, as a matter of fact, Jesus was known to be a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But that didn't mean that Jesus participated in sinful things. It just means that he was a normal, everyday person who didn't think of himself as better than anyone else, even though he really was. Okay. And so like Jesus, be gentle and humble in heart in the things that you post online, meaning that you must rid yourselves of all such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips and your posts and texts and tweets. Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. And that's Colossians 3, 8 through 10. Which I know we've quoted a number of times throughout our sermon series. In other words, since you're now a Christian, act like one, not just in person, but online too, behind that screen. Again, digital dialogue can be detrimental. Digital dialogue can also be careless. You know, when we're engaged in that digital dialogue, something happens that we usually don't think about too much. We often forget that we're actually dealing with real people who have souls on the other side of our screens. You know, it's not a game. It's not a fictional character. You're not trying to catch a Pokemon, okay? Do you remember the acronym WWJD? I'm sure we all do. You might even have a bracelet still, or a t-shirt, or socks, or a hat. I don't know. There's some stuff. It's, what if we modernized that a little bit and made WWJT? You know, what would Jesus tweet or text? I don't know. We also maybe could update our, you know, think before you speak, and maybe make it think before you send or think before you post. Something to that effect, you know. Remember, words matter. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 18:21. And sadly, we've seen how words can literally kill online and in particular social media. Think about how many stories you've heard about a teen who commits suicide after being bullied online. You know, Facebook started this live streaming feature, and they've got people committing suicide live online now. It's just terrible. There are too many examples. Of course, that's teens, but adults also bully and get bullied too. We've seen it in the news all too much recently again with all those cases of the sexual harassment, you know, people entering early retirement, whatever you want to call it. A lot of that happens offline and online, okay? Over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul wrote to Timothy, challenging him to set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. And if Timothy had a Facebook account, I'm sure he would apply that principle to his digital dialogue too. And so we all need to remember to set an example in our speech, in our words, to not email, text, tweet, or post anything unwholesome, derogatory, complaining, hurtful, or unchristlike. Again, digital dialogue can be careless. And the last thing that we want to see is how our digital dialogue can be spiritual. Can be spiritual. You see, not all of what happens on social media is bad. We can use things like Facebook and Twitter to encourage rather than discourage. Think about it. Christians get enough discouragement from multiple sources throughout the day. Media trying to question this or that about Christ. All these things pointing out things that are supposedly, whatever it is, you know, or Christians who've done bad. So you get enough discouragement throughout the day. And so if you use social media, use it to encourage. Be a Barnabas, be an encourager, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, Hebrews 10:24. Along with that, you know, there are some very good devotional and spiritually uplifting Facebook pages like Jesus Daily or Digital Bible. I personally enjoy things with a little bit more oomph. I like to check out Radically Christian on Facebook and Focus Press on Facebook. The point is that there is good stuff out there. There really is. As a matter of fact, you could even use social media to reach the lost. We all know the Great Commission tells us to go in Matthew 28:18-20, that whole section there, starting in 18, 19 is when he gives a commission. Well, with social media, you have the ability to take the saving message of Jesus Christ to places on this planet that you would never travel to personally. Just think about the possibilities with all that. That said, there are very, very, very few Facebook discussion groups that I would recommend to do that in, period. I wouldn't even recommend you even looking at them, okay? Because they're filled with a lot of people that aren't following what we've been talking about. And they call themselves Christians, all right? Instead, I would suggest to chat with them directly through your messenger, your SMS text program, or something about the gospel, about the scriptures. Better yet, maybe you could sign them up with World Bible School online and be their personal teacher. Because maybe they don't live in town. Maybe they do live halfway across the world. Maybe they live somewhere else where you can't sit down with them, but you could study with them with World Bible School online. If you want to figure out how to do that, ask Dave, Charlotte, or Virginia, or you could even ask me. Think about it. With the internet, the possibilities are endless when it comes to reaching the lost. And so we shouldn't take that responsibility lightly. We should take it very seriously. Again, today we've seen that digital dialogue is addictive. It's impersonal. It can be detrimental. It can be careless. But most importantly, again, we observe that it can be very spiritual. It can be. Well, with all this, it's been my hope and prayer that we could take this information and do better at living in the digital world, if you will, of the internet, along with all the social media sites out there, and be able to benefit from their usefulness too, while avoiding all of its dangers. And the most important danger of all to avoid is hell. Jesus said in John 3:16-18 that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You see, the condemnation of hell can easily be avoided, even though Jesus tells us that we all stand condemned and are destined to perish because of our sins. That's because when we're born again of the water and the Spirit, like Jesus tells Nicodemus in John 3:5, we won't perish, but instead we'll have eternal life. And so, if there's anyone here who isn't a Christian, know again that all you need to do is believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon your belief, turn to him in repentance, accepting the life that Jesus has to offer you, confessing him as your Lord and Savior, and then commit yourself to him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then, as you rise up out of the water, you're born again. And then you continue to live your life for him until he comes again, or you get to go to be with him. Possibly there might be some other need that was it mentioned earlier that you'd like us to pray about, or something else that we need to communicate to the congregation, whatever that is, you're always encouraged to come as together we stand and sing.